Welcome to the 241st annual meeting of the Society Library in our 255th year. There were several years during the Revolutionary War where we did not meet, but I'm pleased to call the meeting to order. And the first order of business is to elect a chairperson and secretary of the meeting. And I know we have a lot of candidates for that position, but Sarah, do you have somebody in mind? Am I the chairperson of the meeting? Oh, okay, fine. Well, Ted, thank you very much. We have that under control now. So I will declare the polls open for the election of seven trustees for the class of 2012. Byron Bell, trustee since 2000. Ralph S. Brown, Jr., trustee since 1997. Robert A. Caro, trustee since 1994. George L. K. Frelinghuysen, trustee since 2003. Lynn Carey Mehta, trustee since 2002. Ada Peluso, trustee since this afternoon. And Constance Rogers Roosevelt, trustee since 1998. I now name as the inspectors of elections, Barbara Stanton and Jane Goldstein. And the ballots are being distributed to those who have not already sent in a proxy. So I guess we will wait a respectful period of time for that process to unfold. Are we all done? Okay. I'm tempted to declare the nominees elected, but maybe we should be more official. Sarah? Oh, I'm sorry. We're supposed to do that later. Okay, fine. Well, let me, we'll collect the ballots and report on the news after the report. So I'll proceed with my chairman's report then. This has been a challenging year, but one in which we have been able to reaffirm the value that the library has for all of us. We are weathering the economy's storm as well as might be expected. Our endowment has suffered, as have those of so many other charitable institutions, but we have avoided catastrophic losses and are taking prudent measures to brace for the likely reduction in our annual budget determined by the spending formula we apply to annual withdrawals from our endowment. In face of the hard times we have ahead of us, it has been heartening that our annual fund this last year surpassed all prior records. It is a testament to the dedication of our members of our beloved institution. Even more heartening have been the expressions of appreciation and gratitude from our members, who continue more than ever to enrich their lives through the opportunities for reading, scholarship, and programs that we offer. In these times of economic distress, it seems particularly important for us to sustain our members intellectually and spiritually, if that's not putting it too strongly. The enjoyment and benefit our members derive from the library stem primarily from the marvelous staff we are so fortunate to have. They have risen to the occasion and continue to provide the high level of intelligent and thoughtful service we have all come to expect, enjoy, and appreciate. Usage of the library's facilities has increased, particularly in our now rather overcrowded study and writing rooms on the fifth floor, but our staff continues with good humor, intelligence, and tact to do what they all do so well. We have our head librarian, Mark Bartlett, to thank in no small part for this. He has proven to be a quiet and diligent leader who has developed a strong sense of service to our membership and a very positive working relationship with the board, while serving as an effective representative for the library with our sister institutions and the outside world. It was with Mark's important help that we were able to secure a wonderful gift that I am pleased to be able to announce this evening. Last year, he was contacted by the executors of the estate of Marion Naumburg, who died in 2007. Her late husband's family, I believe, were the donors of the Naumburg Bandshell in Central Park near the mall, which I think you must all know. The executors of her estate apparently have considerable discretion to select charitable beneficiaries of the funds in her estate, told Mark that they were considering a gift to the Society Library and asked him to suggest in writing how he would propose spending grants that might be made in the amounts of $75,000, $125,000, or $250,000. I worked with Mark to prepare a response, which we submitted, and then waited anxiously to hear back for many months. You can imagine our delight when we heard that the executors of Mrs. Naumburg's estate wanted to fund not just one of the alternatives we had presented, but all three, with an additional $50,000 for a grand total gift of $500,000. The first half of that gift was received just a couple of weeks ago. Mark and I had trouble, not sharing this good news previously, but we didn't want to jinx the receipt of the funds. As with the wonderful gifts from the Peluso family and the Marshall Hornblower Trust, we are indeed fortunate to receive this magnificent gift, which will be used to enhance our facilities and programs at a very crucial time. I should note the great help in all of these efforts that have been given by our Director of Development, Joan Zimet. We have continued our fundraising efforts in a very purposeful manner, and I think tasteful. Joan's help over the past couple of years, I guess it's about a year and a half now, have really been crucial to the success of that. So we're grateful to all of our supporters, financially and otherwise, for this. Before I close, I'd like to extend a few particular words of thanks and welcome. First, as many of you know, our longtime board member Jenny Lawrence has decided to step down from the board after, I believe, 15 years of dedicated service. Jenny single-handedly launched our newsletter, which has become a mainstay of communications for the library community. And she and our former board chair, Henry Cooper, co-authored the marvelous book on the occasion of our 250th anniversary, which I find to be an invaluable reference that I keep close at hand to refresh my recollection of important historical facts of the library. Jenny was also responsible for arranging the extraordinary gift of $1 million from the charitable trust established by her father, Marshall Hornblower. Jenny, who is not only a wonderful writer herself, but also has a great appreciation for other writers and their craft, has chosen to devote more time to her vision of a Hornblower Writers Fellowship, about which we hope to report soon. Jenny, I know you didn't want to leave with any fanfare, but I do want to thank you very much for all you've done for the library for such a long time, and I would ask you all to have a round of applause. At the same time, I'd like to welcome to the board our newest member, someone who is already very much part of our community, Ada Peluso. Ada and her brother Romano, as you know, made a landmark gift in 2007, and we were delighted to name our beautiful gallery for them and the memory of their parents, Assunta and Ignacio Peluso. Ada is the chair of the mathematics department at Hunter College and has already served on our lecture and exhibition committee. We couldn't be more delighted to have you join the board. Thank you, Ada, for agreeing to serve with us. In closing, let me say what a pleasure it has been for me to serve as chairman of the library's board. We have a wonderful group of trustees, a supportive staff that I have enjoyed getting to know over a good number of years now. But perhaps what I have found most rewarding is to be part of a community of readers and writers and lovers of literature, history, and culture. I have enjoyed communicating with our members through the occasional letters from the chairman that I have contributed to our newsletters. The positive responses that I have been pleased to receive have reinforced my conviction that the Society Library is an institution that can and does have unique relevance to our day and age, and will weather many an economic storm for decades, and I hope centuries to come, with equanimity, aplomb, and good humor. Thank you for your support. Mark, I think we now have your report. Or, no, I'm sorry, George Frelinghuis in the Treasurer's report.
Thank you, and I'll keep my remarks brief since I think much has been covered by Charles as well as by Mark. For the year ended December 31 of 2008, the library was firmly in the black. It had an operating surplus of about $128,000 before our depreciation charges, and that compared against a budgeted surplus of around $6,600. There were a number of positive developments that took place during the course of the year. One was that the number of library members continued to grow, reaching over 3,164 thereabouts, up from slightly over 3,000 at the end of 2007. And the good news there is that the revenues from membership subscriptions as a result, which is a large part of our contributed income, grew year over year and again did better than budget. And it is also a function of the fact that we're charging a little more for our subscriptions, and that has been a help as well. But it's an important source of revenue for the library. In addition, as Charles just mentioned, the annual appeal did very well, increased 8% over 2007, and easily surpassed our budgeted goal. While the number of donors was down slightly, the gift per donor rose nicely. And this is especially true for those gifts over $5,000. The annual appeal is going to continue to play a very important and increasing role within the framework of the library's income streams, and it's one which has increased progressively over the last several years, and we hope that the members will continue to be generous as we go forward in 2009 and 2010, particularly in light of what has happened to the endowment and the way we calculate our draw on the endowment. Operating expenses were slightly under budget for the year due to savings we realized in some staff expense. Would have been more so had we not had such a good time in parties, which were a little bit over budget. But all in all, I think that money was well spent. Expense control continues to be a major area of focus, especially in light of the last year's drop in the value of the endowment, and we will continue to keep a stern eye on that. Endowment income now provides the largest source of support for the library's operations. It covers about 65% of our operating expenses. Like other nonprofits across the country, we didn't escape unscathed. The value of our holdings were down about a third during 2008. Charles Berry, you may have read in the notes, we've just went out, I thought really very succinctly and well brought out many of the major issues that come out of such a decline in value, in particular in the way we calculate our endowment draw, and the fact that we will have less of endowment income to pull upon in the years 2010 and 11 and 12. These are going to pose very real challenges to the library going forward, and I think it's important to say at this point that a lot of our planning will be on ways to meet these challenges. And but importantly, and this is what Charles has said, and I want to reiterate, that we don't intend to sacrifice the level of service that we offer to our membership, which I think is a tremendous value add. So all in all, I think our library, despite being buffeted by the storms that are raging around us, is managing to make its way fairly well. And I'm confident as we go forward that the finances of the library will remain in good shape, and we'll be able to rise to anything that meets us. So thanks very much, and I'm now going to turn it over to Mark for his report.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's really great to see such a good crowd here tonight. I think this is one of our best attended meetings in quite a few years, since I've been at the library since 2004. For the last 3 years at this meeting, I've come to talk to you and share some of our library stories. I hope that tonight I can emphasize the stories and not the statistics. You have the pink handout, which we've provided, which does show good progress in our various numbers for the year, and they do show that we are continuing to grow in good ways. I do believe that this past year has been an excellent one for the Society Library. It's been a productive and a positive year in many areas, including collections, events, exhibitions, member services, and as you all know, of increasing importance, our development and fundraising. I'm reminded of a trustee who sent me a congratulations note when I became head librarian, and he said, "Break some windows, Mark. Let some fresh air in," which you could take in many ways, but I thought they were kind of encouraging words and made me smile. Tonight, my remarks will cover three main themes, and I hope that they will show that we are bringing in fresh air and bringing in lovely color on our trees outside as well. One caveat, for the benefit of all the staff members in all the various departments that I won't list, I can't do the full description of everything going on in every department tonight. You all know that I write a written report for the published annual report that will have a lot more detail in it. It's been an exciting year in all the departments, and I'll have a lot to report in the published report this year. Looking back, I think we've had three very special occasions, and probably three of the most special occasions that the library has had in quite a few decades. The first one is the celebration of member writers that we held in September. The second, the party honoring members with 40 years or more of membership. And finally, the launch of the exhibition, The President's Wife and the Librarian. I do like to think that with all three of these, in the last few months, we did take some chances with the planning. We experimented with the staff involved with getting together and figuring out how to hold the event, how to execute it, and yes, how to plan the budget. On display tonight, I asked Carolyn Waters to prepare some material from the last year, and there's various things like the programs for our events, the recent President's Wife and the Librarian exhibition catalog, and various things for you to look at, including the New Yorker article that was in this week. I do want to thank Charles Berry and Susan Cheever, who spoke at the celebration of member writers in the fall. It was a great evening, and it recognized that the library's community of writers, both today's community and the community from the past, is a vital part of our organization. December 8th was another very memorable evening. We celebrated those who have been members for 40 years or more, and we were happy to note that it's actually Charles Berry's mother who was the member with the longest number of years, I believe. Authors Thomas Fleming and Shirley Hazard gave remarks at the evening. And another member, Barbara Asher, kind of surprised us that night. She showed up with a notepad and interviewed a few people at the event and wrote a column that was published in the New York Times. The planning committee has met again, and we have agreed that we are going to hold another event, but we are going to do it in 2 years. So in 2011, we will have some type of celebration of this cohort as well. Finally, the story of the president's wife and the librarian. It was a great evening. There were many Roosevelt descendants present, a good number of guests, 125, and we worked hard with this event to get the word out. We actually hired a public relations firm, and early responses have been good, the New Yorker article and listings in Time Out New York, and a little bit of a buzz about the event. We're already seeing some numbers coming through the door, and members of the library are quite happy with the exhibition. Curator Harriet Shapiro has to be thanked in a big way. Harriet, this was a real labor of love, and I think she had a great experience with the writing composition and everything she did with the exhibition, and I can't thank Harriet enough. She was also very good at networking, planning this event, and she worked with Wallace Daly of Harvard College Library, where the Theodore Roosevelt collection sits, and Sylvia Jukes Morris, the author of the one Edith Kermit Roosevelt biography. There are many fascinating things about the Roosevelt-King friendship, but from a kind of standing back from a head librarian perspective, I would say that it is in a way a reminder that this library, the Society Library, continues to allow a very close bond, sometimes a first name basis, friendship between members and staff. That really isn't that common in many libraries in these days, and it is certainly not as common in this age of disintermediation, distraction, BlackBerry, cell phone, all of those devices we're all using. If I may speak for a moment for the library staff of 35, I think that we all feel very fortunate to work here and to have these relationships that we have with our members. I do want to talk about member services and my little running list of some of the more interesting questions that we've had in the last year. We do receive questions downstairs at both the circulation desk and the reference desk, and it's always refreshing to hear the variety of information we help members and the public track down. As you would expect, this is a New York City library, so some questions are New York specific. Someone was looking for information on lawn bowling in Prospect Park. Someone was looking for the history of a carriage house at 118 East 83rd Street. Information on William Gibson or the Gibson Art Glass Company. New York City weather conditions for a particular day in history. I'm not sure how we answered that. And an answer to the question, which I don't think I still understand, not being a New Yorker. Carolyn explained it to me. How would one have traveled from the Upper West Side to 10th Street in the year 1910? And was the subway an option, or was the L still available? You'll note I'm not providing the answers to these questions now. Beyond the many questions relating to New York City, there continues to be a great variety in other subject areas. Someone wanted pictures of Cary Grant. Another member was looking for a Fortune magazine article about hedge fund CEOs supporting charities. Someone was wanting to do a literature review on the topics of trends in philanthropy, especially leadership and accountability opportunities. And finally, an answer to the question, where did the weapons of the American Revolution come from? Member service and the continued appreciation for the library's collection are certainly represented by the robust circulation of material. Our count this year was close to 90,000, and I'm pleased to let you know that the Children's Library represented 16% of that figure, and it seems to be going up every year. My third area is to talk a little bit about partnerships, collaboration, and the role of development in the library. As you heard from Charles, it's been a busy few months in library administration, and with the leadership of Joan Zemet and Diane Srebnick in the development office, and working with Charles, we had a very special year with the Naumburg bequest. At last year's meeting, I did predict that the annual appeal would grow, and I'm happy to say that this has come true. The library's annual appeal increased in 2008. Unrestricted annual appeal gifts from individuals, including matching gifts, totaled $372,000. We did have other forms of support in the last year. The Gladys Kriebel Delmas Foundation awarded the library a $15,000 grant to continue our work on the first charging ledger and our library archives. And in December, we had a really lovely Christmas present. William Bardell approached the Director of Development, Joan, and me, and asked about setting up a book fund in honor of his wife. And the Penelope K. Bardell Fund was established at the end of the year with a donation of $25,000 that will be built over 4 years, and it's going to support a very crucial area of our library book collection, English and American literature. For the last 2 years, our development office has written a strategic plan for development and fundraising. This year's plan, the plan for 2009, was ably completed by Joan and Diane and reviewed by the new chair of the development committee, George Frelinghuysen. It details a set of goals and action items that give us direction. I'm not going to read the complete report out to you tonight, but the overall strategies are: building a major and planned giving program; second, strengthening and growing the annual appeal; and three, continuing to create an organizational culture of philanthropy. Each of these strategies has a set of goals and a set of action items attached to each goal. We are busy. I think we're moving forward. And I did want to also say that as trustees, staff, shareholders, and library members, we all have a role to play in this part of the library's future. Collaboration and partnerships continue to be important in other areas. In December, we had a large and enthusiastic audience in the members' room to hear a dramatic reading by the Affinity Collaborative Theater of W.H. Auden's For the Time Being, a Christmas oratorio. One of ACT's board members is a member of our library, Sheila Schwartz. I'm pleased to let you know that ACT and the library would like to continue this collaborative relationship, and we've penciled in an encore presentation of For the Time Being for next December. We've also been working with our friends down the road at the Mercantile Library Center for Fiction. We've had 60 visiting members from the Mercantile Library. They've been paying to borrow books here, to make it clear. And we've also been partnering with the work with the Merc on a program called The Big Read. For those of you who don't know, The Big Read is a national program, an annual observance, where many members of a community celebrate and interact with one great book. This year's book is a very fitting one for our library, Henry James Washington Square. And the library is participating with a discussion led by scholar James Craft, that's happening next Wednesday, and a performance of the play The Heiress. It will be done by the Metropolitan Playhouse, and that follows a few days later on April 25th. We do have other partnerships that are working. The library continues its role in Project Cicero and has co-presented 5 lectures and book signings at Temple Israel with our friends at 13 WNET. The Bill Moyers event that we held in September was our biggest crowd yet, and we actually had to open the balcony at Temple Israel for that evening. In the last year, we've had some staff changed. We welcome new staff members, Matthew Haugen. He's our catalog librarian systems assistant. Heather Paulson and Rachel Henry in the Children's Library. And Andrew Corbin and Latria Graham, both in the circulation department as circulation assistants. I do want to thank our volunteer contingent in the library. Edmay Wright continues as our archives volunteer. Thank you, Edmay. Jules Cohen, who could not be with us tonight, I believe, continues as our acquisitions volunteer. And helping us in the last year in the Peluso Family Exhibition Gallery, some library members, Florence Ercolano, Edna Gertler, Nancy Newcomb, Benjamin Platt, and Paula Webster. Shortly after I accepted the position of head librarian in 2006, I wrote a column for Library Notes, our library newsletter that was started by Jenny Lawrence. I reread this particular issue of Notes while I was preparing my remarks for tonight, and I wanted to read out some words that, to me, still rang true. I hope to recognize the traditions and practices of our library while fostering creativity and introducing change appropriately. I believe that the richness and variety of the library's collections must be protected and preserved. At the same time, I do believe that we can find ways to improve and enhance the library's collections, services, programs, and facilities by harnessing appropriate technologies. A marriage of good and appropriate technology and library tradition is most evident in this past year with the new audio and video sound system that we're using tonight, as well as having professional level microphones, speakers, wiring, our black box over here. We are able to do recordings of our events, and we are now streaming them on the website. Since last April, this collection has grown, and the use of our event recordings has been quite encouraging. I must thank the AV squad, as we call them, Latria, Matt, George, and our head of systems, who's not with us tonight, Ingrid Richter. This was also the year that the library launched its wireless network. It's currently used in the upper floors of the library, and in particular the fifth floor study room and writing rooms, which are inordinately busy these days. Jane and I would also really like to thank the maintenance department and the library. We sometimes forget how hard our maintenance people work. John McEwen, Harry Abarca, and Harry's assistant Javier, doing marvelous work in the last year, keeping the building together and doing all that they do. It really continues to be an honor to serve as your head librarian, and I thank all of you, trustees, shareholders, members, staff, committee members, every single one of you, for being part of the Society Library, which we can proudly say is now in its 255th year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. The polls are now declared closed, and the ballots have been counted, or are about to be counted. Okay, it's official. The number of ballots cast was 72, and I'm sure they were all in favor of the slate, so congratulations. I would now call for a motion to approve the acts and transactions of the Board of Trustees during the past year. Bill, that sounds like a serious rubber stamp, if you will, but could I entertain such a motion, please? Thank you, Ted. Second? All in favor? Any opposed? Phew. Okay. Well, now it's my very great pleasure to make a staff presentation to a staff member who has been with the library for 30 years. Linnea Savopoulos is a person of great good cheer. It's always such a pleasure to be greeted by her when I come into the library. And Linnea, I'd like you to come up and receive this award. I'll just read the citation. For 30 years of service to this institution and its patrons, 1979 to 2009, okay. Offering your time and abilities so selflessly, you have provided this community of readers with a broad spectrum of services. Your talents and collegiality are an essential part of the circulation department. The board and staff salute you for your enduring accomplishments and devotion. Presented on behalf of the New York Society Library, April 15, 2009.
Thank you
very much. Great. With that, we are adjourned, and I hope everybody will enjoy the food and drink.